that wasn't it. Let's start over. How does it go? I want you more than gold. Allie, what do we have? There we go. I want you more than gold or silver. Yours to do it. You can do it any day you want, any moment, any situation. You can do it.
Singing in his presence, and I call it home.
just want to say, God is our Redeemer. And His purpose is to completely buy back everything that was ever lost. That is His absolute desire and purpose forever. And He does it. He does it by healing us. He does it by restoring us. He does all of His goodness. Our response is a few things. Number one, we believe in Him. And number two, we love Him. I love my Redeemer. Let's sing that one again. You ready? I love, okay? Receive that even right now. We choose to open our hearts to receive Your love. With great gratitude, we receive Your love.
When I was just standing in the back, I saw a vision of the Lord rounding us up. And the thing that I saw was He was putting us into like a pen. Thing that came to mind was sheepfold. My sense was that during this season, it is important that we allow Him to pull us into a place of protection in Him. Because the things that are going on around us, what we're seeing in the media, the lies that are being spread, and the things that are going on, the corruption and everything else, I believe God is saying it's time for us to allow Him to remove that from us, not allow us to believe that which is being spread, but that we would be in a place of protection with Him where He would be able to speak into our hearts that which He has for His kingdom to be about. And so being rounded up like that is not a bad thing. It's a thing of protection. In that sheepfold, there is food that is released. There is water that is released. There is protection from wild animals in that sheepfold. And so, because He is our Redeemer, because He loves us, in this season, He wants us to be as close to Him as possible.
For 1,000 tongues to sing.
Assist me to proclaim, to spread.
to start again at the top with 04,000 tongues. As a people, we are under His guiding shepherding. That's the truth. But we are also those that reach out. And what the psalmist in this, the writer of this song is saying, is how delighted I'd be for thousands and thousands and millions to sing. Because He's worthy of great praise, great worship. So let's sing it in that regard. We'll maybe sing a couple of verses here. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. This one's called, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. Joy that seekest me through pain. I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not in vain that morn shall tearless be. And then the fourth verse, O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red, life that shall endless be. We don't have it, do we? Oh, we do. Let's start on the top again. Oh, love that will not let me go. Of God that will not let us go, the joy that seeks us through pain, the light that follows all of our ways, and even the cross that lifts up our head. We thank you that we have such a great grace in you, our God. In you is great grace, and we are so grateful. I stand, Allie. Let's start at the top. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm from the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. On Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Here in the dark. Christ alone who took on flesh. In Christ alone, that's where we live. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Amen. You guys can be seated. Big Dave, you had shared with me a couple of things this morning. Would you just share those things?
So the first one's short and sweet, and so I don't remember what time it was, somewhere 5, 6, 7 o'clock when I roused and just said, God, what are you saying? And, you know, about 45 seconds later, you fall back to sleep, one of those. I heard, take off your shoes for you're on holy ground. I was promptly asleep again. So that's, take that one for what it's worth. That's all I got for you. Now I'm lost on the next one, George. I've forgotten already, sorry.
So last week, Nate was talking to us about somebody that had said to him that he had had healing from dyslexia because that's not what was in heaven. And so he kept saying to himself in the mirror over and over again, that's not kingdom, that's not what I have, until he believed it. So one of the things, a long time ago when I was little, I had an aunt that was living with us. And I was becoming a teenager, and she used to tell me all the time, do you know how beautiful you are? And this one day, she actually took me to the mirror and said, look in the mirror and look deeply into your eyes and see how beautiful you are. That was an experience to me because it was like I looked past shame. I looked past rejection. I looked past all of that. And what I saw was Jesus. And realized that there was some truth to what she was saying to me. So when Nate was talking last week, I kept thinking about that and realizing that we can look into kingdom because kingdom lives in us. And so this morning as I was coming in, before I even started coming in, I started doing the same kind of thing in the mirror. But when I was driving in, there's the rearview mirror, and I kept declaring things over me that is truth because Jesus lives in me. And I would look in that rearview mirror and see Jesus looking at me going, yep, you can do that. Yep, you can do that. Yep, that's who you are. So holy ground. Holy ground. Look in the mirror, you guys. Look past shame. Look past all of that and see Jesus in your eyes. It's there. You can see it.
So what Jocelyn's talking about is what we've been talking about. And it's believing what God says, the absolute truth, not what we see, not what we feel, not what we can physically touch, but understanding the truth that God says about us. And that's exactly what you're talking about, isn't it, Jocelyn? Who am I? It's not the fat old guy that you see here. You have a problem with the fat old guy? Take it up with God, because he says something about me. And I'd be careful what you say about me to him, because he loves me, okay? And he loves you, each of you. You are his precious one. So where I jumped off to was thinking about saying to you, Keith and Diane sit right here all the time. Move. Get out of your comfort zone. Here's the question. What is your comfort zone? It's a lie. That's what comfort zone is. Oh, no, no, no. I feel real comfortable here. It's the lie that's attached to that. Because let me ask you something. If I were God, I'm almost as big as he is, not quite. And George... and George was communicating with me, and God says, George, come. And there's, you know, I don't know, a pit of vipers or a creek or a river or a stream or an ocean or whatever your problem is between you and God. And God says, George, come. George, are you comfortable there? Or are you more comfortable like the baby that you are, hugged and held in God's arms, in going with him? I want to be in his arms, moving across the pit of vipers and the rivers and the oceans and the whatevers of my life. Do you follow what I'm trying to say to you? So where truly is your comfort zone? Your comfort zone is in him.
Yeah.
Not going, you know, I'm much more comfortable with Betsy in my arms than I am going to Betsy. I'm much more comfortable being in God, in his arms, with him, than going to him. Comfort zone, where we spend our time, we feel like it's comfortable, but that's a lie. Put yourself where you truly are in your comfort zone, in God's arms, moving with God, not towards, moving with. Do you follow the difference there? Did I make that clear?
Okay.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm going to just talk because George is busy.
Do it, seriously.
The Lord put something on my heart to share that I'd rather not, but...
Right on your chin, right there.
You know, we have to go beyond... Feeling comfortable even about talking. If the Holy Spirit's prompting us, we need to be obedient. And I, since the first song started, the Lord's been talking to me so strongly about something going on. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to type this up and send it to Pastor George because it's really, really important. And I don't speak that well, but I can type. So I decided not to share it. But then just now I looked at my phone wondering where the rest of my family is and saw it was 10:10. And 10 is holy. And they were just, and they were just talking about this is holy ground. And even before that, the Lord spoke to me when he said it's holy ground. That I believe, even as I speak about this, that there very well could be healing in others that take place because of what I'm going to share and what I've been through. I'll try to be brief. So the first songs were, I want you more than gold or silver. You alone are my heart's desire. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. And God has been speaking to me for a long time about forsaking all other lovers. We all have things in our life. And Dave even mentioned them in a certain way, but I think I would even call strongholds things that, let's say, I'll give an example to make it clear. Let's say we went through a difficult time growing up as a child. So we found something as our comfort, sweets, okay? And throughout our life, that has continued, not to like a crazy or something degree. And even now, somebody would say, sweets, you don't eat many, what's the big deal? But there is something in you that has, there's a connection there. It has a stronghold. That's like a loving knife. It gives you peace, say, when you have it, or comfort, or when you're, in a stressful situation or something, that's where you go. And God says, no. We sing, I want you more than gold or silver, more than anything. But truly, do we? Or do we still want to hold on to all those things, those pleasures, those comforts, those things that make us happy, those things that make us feel at rest, peaceful? Only you can satisfy. Then we went to God is my Redeemer. And I looked up the definition. The Lord had me look it up. To compensate for the faults or bad aspects of something. God doesn't want us to be finding our, whatever in other things. He wants him to be all to us, to be everything. And when Keith talked about the sheep herded into a pen, in that sheepfold, God wants us to be as close to him as possible. So he wants to deliver us from these other things in our lives. He wants to be our all in all. Well, the Lord was speaking to me very strongly about this a few weeks ago. We were on the way back driving from somewhere, and I was in the back seat, and I was reading the page in this book by Jonathan Kahn, Book of Mysteries, and it was a call to forsake all. That's just what it was. I was in the back seat taking notes because I knew God was speaking so strong in my heart. The tears were pouring. I mean, I was so overcome by the Holy Spirit. I so felt that call. I can't even tell you. It was overwhelming. I said, that is it. I have gone on my... There are certain things, nothing like bad, just things, whatever they may be for each one of us. And I knew what they were for me. And it's difficult. I think some of the tears I was crying were even fear. Because I did not want, I'm like, it's no big deal, it's not a big deal, Lord. I mean, everybody, I don't overuse, I don't, have too many or whatever. And I did not want to, but I did. Well, I want to tell you something. So it says here, you alone are, I'm sorry, it's taking me so long to tell this. Only you can satisfy. So it says, I want you more than you were, only you can satisfy it. I said, Lord, I'm going to look to you. And it has not been easy. I am telling you, I have been in the secret place with him more than ever because it's been so hard. I probably could have gone somewhere, got prayed for and been delivered from, enjoying sweets too much, whatever. But God wanted to do it. And when I said, that is it, I am just done. He healed me of some other things for quite a long time now. Like I've not been eating grains because when I do, they bother me. And I'm like, where did that come from? It's crazy. He completely healed me from that, from the allergy stuff, all this stuff. It is gone. It's been weeks, so I'm not just saying this like the other day. It is so gone. And guess what? I am not kidding. I don't even have that whole tie to those things is gone. It just is completely gone. I could have, if I go to someone's house, I said, it's fine. When I'm home, I'm not wanting, desiring. Some huge healing took place. I mean, it's hard to explain it. You know what I mean? But I am telling you. So I just feel that the whole morning has lined up with this. Dave's word, Pastor George's. So I just feel like the Lord has something for us in all of this, not just for me, but for each one of us.
All right.
I'm sorry to talk.
No, that's just fine. Thank you, Paula. I'm going to have Noah share a little bit of something that he had shared with me almost a couple of weeks ago.
Hey, guys. I don't normally talk in front of groups, so if I stutter a little bit, that's why. But a couple weeks ago, I was listening to one of the sermons that we had, and I was sitting at my desk, and I was working on school, and I quickly got, so I was paying more attention to the sermon than I was to my school. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, I have a lighter on my desk usually. So I was sitting there with my bottle of water and my lighter, and I found myself, I was like holding the lighter up to the edge of the bottle. And of course, I don't know if any of you guys have heard this before, but you can boil a bottle of water by putting it in a fire and it won't burn the bottle because the water takes the heat away. So that to me was like a clear vision. It's like, you know, we're the bottle and God is the water in us, keeping the fire from burning us. And I also was thinking, I work at a farm, and one of the reasons that they like me there is because I come up with the quick ways to get everything done and bypass all the problems. And I was thinking it's very easy, especially when you have like all your different translations of the Bible, to find yourself a nice little loophole to get around whatever problem you're running into that makes it hard for you to follow what God is telling you to do. But when you do that, you're taking your bottle and you're supposed to be drinking out of it from the top. If you cut a hole in the side, then you can drink out of that hole and it'll still fill most of the way up, but it'll never be all the way full. And then when the fire comes to attack the part of your bottle that's not full because of that loophole you cut in it, it's going to burn and it's going to melt away. But the beauty of it is, if you cut a hole in a real bottle, that hole is always there. There's nothing you're going to do about that. But when we acknowledge our loopholes that we've cut into our bottle, or, you know, our ways to get past our challenges, and we really do what God is trying to say to us, then he can heal those loopholes and refill our bottle so that we're fully protected. Again.
Thank you. Well, I really appreciate all of your sharing this morning. It's been beneficial to us. Father, we just open our hearts even right now to the words that you have given to us. We choose to believe that it is you in us that is beautiful. We choose to believe that. Even that revelation that you gave to Jocelyn, we receive that you have made us truly beautiful, and we choose to see ourselves in that way. We also choose to recognize that we don't want our own little comfort zones or maybe our shortcuts. We're really most comfortable right in the middle of where you have for us, right in you, right in your arms, right in the middle of your heart. We don't want shortcuts. We don't want even our own little happy side of things, whatever it is, our own little enjoyments. We want you. We want you. We want the holy place of you. We come before you and ask that you would indeed not only show us where the holes in our bottle are, not only show us where our little selfish silliness is, but that you would heal us, that you would redeem us, that you would cause us to be bought back into a right place before you. We want to be fully in you, and we want to be filled with you fully. I'd like each of us, even right now, so just let the Holy Spirit work on your heart right now. Let him speak to you. Where does he have something to heal you? Where does he have something where as you give that up, then he makes you whole and keeps you. Speak, Holy Spirit, we're listening. Now, we repent in those arenas. We desire to shift. We desire to change. We want what you want for us. We know that that's what we really want. Our comfort is entirely in you, not someplace else. Our redemption, our holiness is in you. So we receive your healing in your life. I bless these, your precious ones here today. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on us and let us hear and know you, walk with you, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the message I have today is not very far from, well, surprisingly, right, from what the Lord is saying to you all. And I'll get to there in just a moment, but I did have a quick announcement, and that is that more or less immediately, probably 10 minutes after the end of the service, or 15 after the end of the service, we'll have a business meeting. Anyone here that's a regular attender and connected here, you're welcome to come. And we'll do our annual business meeting together a few minutes after the end of the service. So this week, as I was approaching today, I just began to look at the scriptures and began to understand some things. I don't often pound through tons and tons of Greek, but this is one of those weeks where I actually pounded through a bunch of stuff and found some pretty interesting things that I just want to summarize a little bit for us. As it turns out, it has to do not with Greek, but it has to do with some significant spiritual dynamics that we need to understand. In the Greek, there are a couple of prepositions that are interesting. Now, a preposition is a word like in or of, or I'm sure there's a few more, with or to, those kinds of words that they connect two words, and they tell you how these two words connect, okay? So if I say, I am with Alan, you know that someplace, you know, I'm connected, you know, we're juxtaposed relatively similarly, you know, location-wise, okay? If I were to say, I am on the chair, you know the physical orientation of me with respect to the chair. You know how that works. It's on, okay? So these prepositions are words that typically connect two other words and tell you how they're oriented together. In the scriptures, in translation in general, it can be sometimes a little bit tricky because in one language, there's a preposition that means something like this, and the other language, it means something like this, and this one has two that go here. Yeah, so it's a little bit tricky sometimes. But there are two words, two prepositions in the Greek that are frequently translated in. And I want to distinguish between them because the Greek makes very clear distinguishing and it helps us understand some spiritual dynamics. One of the words, in, really means into. And you could say, I'm going in. What you really mean is I'm going into the store or whatever it is. I'm going in. This particular Greek word is rarely, if ever, used without an action verb or other word that is signifying a direction, where you're going, a place, expressing motion, okay? And that particular word is sometimes simply translated as in, and I think poorly translated that way. So we'll get to that in a minute. There's another word that is often translated in a number of ways, but it signifies lack of motion, okay? So I could say Keith went into the store, okay? And that signified his transition in, but I could say Keith's in the store, okay? He's inside. He's within the store. He's there. It signifies that he's there, and he's not leaving, apparently. He's not going in, apparently. He's in the store. Do you see what I mean? And those are the two prepositions that we're going to look at a little bit. And I think they're quite interesting in how they can speak to us about dynamics, i.e. how things work in the spirit realm. There's a very, very common, well-known sets of scripture. I'll read it to you. It says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This comes out of John chapter 3. Verse 15 says, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. This speaks of the mechanism and the way that salvation is accessed. And let me just say it to you the way the Greek speaks it. He says, whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Whoever believes into him. In fact, if you look throughout the whole New Testament, any time where somebody is said to believe on or believe in, depending on your translation, it actually is best translated believes into. This is that preposition that is rarely, if ever, associated with any word that doesn't have motion. It's always connected with motion. You see, belief in the spiritual realm is not a static thing. It's not a thing that has no motion associated. Belief translates you and moves you into a location. When you believe, it is an active thing. It is a moving thing. It's something that shifts you and changes you. It takes you from one spiritual location to a different spiritual location. Belief isn't, you know, when I was a kid or when I thought about, you know, believe in Jesus, what does it even mean to believe in Jesus? Well, let me just say very clearly that it means believing yourself into the middle of who he is. Immersion. It means moving into who he is, okay? Believing into him. I want us to think locationally because these prepositions really signify something in the spirit that we need to understand. And if we think locationally, it helps us to picture it properly. So when we're invited to believe, we're invited to believe into him. Okay? It speaks of a motion that takes us from outside somewhere to inside somewhere. Yes, sir.
To define that better, so like to say Keith's moving into the store, to give us a better understanding, would it be accurate to say Keith is continually moving into the store?
Well, there is that facet, okay, and I think I want to get to that, but what I want to start with, Dave, is to say that belief is a motion. Belief is a shift. Belief takes us from, okay, again, I want us to picture in the spiritual realm. I don't want you to think that you're going to, you know, go from the store to the church. Okay, that's not what I want you to think. I want you to think you're going to go from separate from Jesus into Jesus, okay, into the very location of him. Well, I want to work on that. I agree with you. And I want to work on that, but later, not right now. Okay. Slow down. Yeah. Because I want to talk to you about the amazing thing. Okay. So I'll read you another quick couple of scriptures. And Jesus cried out and said, and this time I'm gonna put in the word into, because it expresses the actual understanding of the Greek here, okay? And Jesus cried out and said, he who believes into me does not believe into me only, but into him who sent me. He who sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world so that anyone who believes into me will not remain in darkness. You see, he's inviting us to believe into him. That's the first preposition. Let's talk about the second preposition, and then we'll see the distinctions. The second preposition, according to the dictionaries, is rarely connected, if ever, connected with verbs of motion. In fact, even then, not to indicate direction, okay? Unless you put another preposition with it, you don't have motion in this preposition. And this preposition is another in-type preposition. And it really denotes a fixed position. It can also, you know, by almost like analogy or because of how it is, speak of instrumentality. Okay, so let's just think about that. Okay, I could say that that. Let's see. I could say that Keith is in charge. Okay? Keith doesn't want to be in charge. Okay? But I could say that Keith is in charge. I'm really saying a location that he really is, he's just there. He's in the store, he's in charge. But because he's in charge, you know that that has implication with respect to what he's about and how he's going to be able to live and execute life. Because it speaks of a location, but secondarily can speak of how that works out.
It makes me think of being in station. In other words, he is instated.
Yes, okay. So if you're in station, if you're in a location or for a purpose, okay, now, there's no doubt that it is for a purpose, but the essential thing that we have to remember is that you're there for a purpose, okay? So sometimes in the scriptures, the second word, instead of being translated in, again, depending on which translation you look at, will be translated through. So sometimes it'll talk about salvation through Jesus. And it is through Jesus. But the essential aspect of it is that it's in Jesus. Okay? It's in Jesus and therefore through Jesus. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Essentially, we need to begin to recognize that the spiritual dynamic is we get into by belief. And then when we're in, yes, there's through. But it's a location that we need to understand ourselves in. And it's the understanding of ourselves in that location that continuously progresses, as David was pointing out to us. But let's look at that preposition in context in a couple of scriptures. Oh, here's a great one. Because there's many, and I won't read them all, okay, because I did a lot of working at this, but I can't spend the time to read them all. But in John 15, verse 5, the familiar abide in me, if my words abide in you, and all that kind of stuff. This is the verse that I want to talk about. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides within, the middle of, not moving out, staying right there in. He who abides in me, within me, and I within him, he bears much fruit. And then this is to juxtapose it, to give you the opposite of it. It says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And that word apart actually speaks of having space between. Okay? So the notion of the of apart is about having space. So let me say it to you a different way. If you abide in me, if you live within me, if you stay on the inside of me, then you will be fruitful. But if you allow there to be any space between you and me, you can do nothing. Do you see the difference? And the word apart really gives you sort of like, it's nice because you have this. Either it's this or it's that. And it's either in or there's a little bit of space. It doesn't take much. Just a little bit of space. Apart from me, that is, if there's any space in between us, then you can do nothing. That gives you a really beautiful picture of these, of this second preposition. It kind of gives you the opposite of the second preposition. Another really beautiful picture, okay, so let's remember the spiritual dynamic is that we believe into Jesus, and then we live in. Paul writes, "And if you're going to be, if you live there, let us walk in there." Okay, so we not only live in there, but we walk in there. We then inside of Jesus. Okay, so often, I don't know about you. Okay, but I've been in the church for a long time, and these words like in him or in Jesus or in Christ, they're kind of like almost like, they're just part of the words that come out. But what we need to understand is that we can live inside of him. And it's inside of him that we in fact are. Let me say to you that we don't have eternal life apart from him. It's because we're inside of him that we have eternal life. We don't have... I'll read you another really fantastic one, okay? This is Ephesians 1:20. Now, earlier in Ephesians 1, he speaks of Jesus who is... this is it. He brought this about within Christ, inside of Christ, when he raised Jesus from the dead and seated him within the Father's right hand in the heavenly places. Okay, so all of those ends are these fixed locations. So that scripture says, you're in Jesus, who's in the Father's right hand, which is in heavenly places. Do you see what I'm trying to say? And so you see the Russian doll situation, okay? You have you inside of Jesus, inside of the Father, who's in the heavenly places. And he's speaking very clearly of the spiritual dynamics, the spiritual location, spiritual space that you're in. One of the amazing things about being in familiar scripture, if anyone is in, within, in the middle of that in, if anyone is inside of Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. In a sense, I'd like today to be your spiritual realtor. Okay? I'd like to take you into the place for a moment. I'd like to show you the beautiful kitchen and all of the functionality that's there. And I'd like to show you inside of where you live and where you're called to believe yourself into. I'd like to encourage you and show you the spiritual real estate in which you live. A couple of quick scriptures in that regard. Within him was life, and the life was the light of men. Here's another. For as many as are the promises of God, within him, they are yes. Do you understand this? That all of the promises of God work on the inside of him. That's why you live there. It's because he desired to give you the promises, so he put you into the location where the promises have effect. You are not outside of Christ. You are inside of Christ, because inside of Christ you have all of these benefits. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So when you look in the mirror, Jocelyn, you're looking at someone who's inside of the most beautiful. You're inside someplace. So is it any wonder that if you look, you see him? Here's some other ones. Your spiritual real estate includes the righteousness of God within Jesus. Here's a whole set of things that I wanted, and I really felt like were right for me to share with you today. It comes out of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. Blessed be the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, spoiler alert, within Christ. Okay. Bless us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places within Christ. You're in a place in the heavenly places where there's every spiritual blessing. It's called Christ. Just as he chose us in Christ, in him, within him. He says in him so many times, but I'm going to just remind it to you. Every time I get to it, I'll remind you. Within him. Before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to his adoptions as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. Into the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us. In the beloved. In, within the beloved. Actually, I just want to say, he loves to grace you inside of his son. He loves to pour out his goodness and his grace inside of his son. In him, we have redemption. We've been singing and talking about redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavishes into us. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intentions. You know that God has the most kind intentions toward you? Want to know why? Because where you are. Because you're in him. According to his kind intention, which he purposed in him. He just keeps saying this again and again. In. And that word in, I'll tell you into, unless I mean within, okay? Into. He lavishes grace into us, okay? According to the kind intention he purposed in him. With a view to this, to the administration of the completion of kairoses. If you look at that scripture, that's been a scripture that confused me for a lot of times. But I strongly believe that God has an administration available to us in him, in Jesus, that completes not just the kairos that's associated with this particular time-space continuum, but the kairoses that are spiritual as well. Because he says this, with a view to the administration suitable to the completion of the kairos, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, both things in the heavens and things on the earth. And so in Jesus, there's the coming into coherence, the kairos of the space-time that we live in and all of his purposes in this universe, and the space-time of eternity and his eternal purposes that beyond our even imagination. Those kairos times connect and sum up everything into Christ. I think there's mysteries there that God would like to open up to you if you'll be in him and open your mind to it. In him we also have an obtained inheritance. Guess what? In him we get stuff. Why? Because you're in the eldest son. And the eldest son gets a good inheritance. You know that. He gets like the double portion, right? In him, you get it. It's yours. It's an inheritance. You check it out. Every place that you see, I think every place where you see the word in, it's some of the other, so sometimes it's like on or through, and those are the intos. But check out Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. Here's another piece. Can I just talk on another? And this is beautiful, and I want you to hear me. So if you're going to go to sleep after you hear this, okay? This piece right here. In Jesus, and this comes out of Ephesians 3, verse 12. In Jesus, you have confident access to everything from God. You have boldness and confident access to Him. Let me. And you should. And let me just tell you something. But let me say to you, what you were doing, say it out loud.
Those were the things that I was speaking to myself was fearlessness, boldness. Everything that I could think of that Jesus is, confidence, determined,
loving. Did that change you?
Yes.
So are you trying to tell me that there was motion in that?
Yes, there was.
What I'm trying to say to you is that you were believing into the very thing that
Amen.
You were speaking.
There is no sickness. There is no weakness. There's only strength. Because that's who he is.
Are you believing yourself into there?
I am. I'm so believing it.
We're believing into a place where there is boldness. There is confident access to every good thing. In him, in that fixed location, all of the promises of God are yes to you. And not just to Jocelyn. Anybody else want a little piece of that? There's many more that I could share, but I'm not going to. Right now, I want to talk to you about another facet of the inn, okay? And again, I'm going to be talking about the inn that's a fixed location, okay? You are in a location, and there's an instrumentality to it. You see, when you're in Jesus, you get all these promises, okay? You see, in there, you have access to stuff. If Keith is in charge, it's about his location or his state, okay? But he also has access to authority because he's in charge. He also has access to doing stuff, and he has capabilities, okay? And so it's because he's in charge that he has in charge capabilities. Because you're in Christ, because you by faith have moved into Christ, you have access and bold, confident access to everything that he's given to you. We need to change our minds about how we think about things. We indeed do believe into him. And we indeed, in that location, have great access and boldness, confident access through faith in him. I'm going to talk to you about the other piece of this. This comes out a few scriptures out of 1 John chapter 3, 24 here. The one who keeps his commands abides in him, within him, and he abides in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit that he has given us. Now, I know in our you know, little songs and in a popular perspective, and it's true that Jesus lives in my heart. Okay, the way he lives in my heart is by his Spirit. Just FYI. Okay, I mean technically. Okay, you get real technical about it. It's the Spirit that has been given to us, and Jesus resides in the Father, resides within us by his Spirit. Question, comment.
Question. I'm kind of new to this.
Yeah.
You know, Well, my entire life, I have always been a certain way, and I've learned to not let go of certain things.
Sure.
But how do you obtain something when you're afraid to let go of other things?
Okay, now that's that's a fantastic question. The reality is, that's what we do, okay? That's the comfort zone that God's dealing with Dave about. That's the wrong attitudes about herself that Jocelyn is going to have to let go as she looks and sees Christ in her eyes, okay? Here's the truth. The way you do it is you believe into. Now, I mean, it's scary. It's scary, dude, okay? Right? Isn't it scary? The reality is that we think that our stuff and our regular, our normal, is our comfort zone. We think that that is our safe spot, okay? But the reality is, let me just say it truthfully, the reality is that's what holds us back, okay? But it takes courage, it takes faith, to step outside of our little self-imposed boundary and say, all right, I'm going to believe into a different way of thinking. I'm going to believe into Jesus, believe into a different way of living. It takes courage. It takes faith. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to get to another piece in the dynamic that'll hopefully answer part of your question. But my strong answer to you is we are being called, just like David was trying to say, you know, isn't this a continuous process? And indeed it is. We're being called out of our regular, out of our normal ways of thinking, and into something that is far better, but always it's painted by our experiences, by the enemy who wants to keep you right where you are. Always it's painted as scary, painted as dangerous, risky. And instead, it's because he just wants to prevent you from getting where Father has for you to get. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. You got another question?
Yeah, well, it's just like a comment. I've attended church, you know, throughout various times of my life, Awana's as a child, and for some reason, it's just like every time I turn around, I'm being called, but I get afraid.
Yeah.
You know, I go, then I stop going.
Yeah.
I go, then I stop going. What is that all about? I mean, like, I just don't understand. It really bothers me. It bothers me a lot.
Sure. Well, you know what? We'll pray for you right now. Remind me of your name.
TJ.
TJ. TJ. Lord, we just are grateful to you for TJ. We thank you, Lord, that you keep on calling him and that you have fantastically good things for TJ. Lord, I just release your blessing on him in the name of Jesus. I just speak wholeness into him. Lord, where there have been tripping points of fear or risk or even hurts that people have done, bad stuff that people have done, Lord, I pray for your healing. And Lord, I pray and a release in the name of Jesus, an anointing of your Holy Spirit on this man to believe in you, into you, to believe into you, and to see and hear you, to know your goodness, to know that you have all the good things for him. I bless him. I bless him. Lord, I pray that even this week, you will take TJ and show him yourself some of the real estate that you have for him, some of the good things that you want to put into his life. I bless TJ in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you have drawn him and kept on drawing him and kept on drawing him, and that all of history is put aside, and that the only thing that's left is your destiny and your grace and your blessing for him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I bless you, TJ. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, fall fresh on TJ in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Speak a word to you.
I believe that there's, when I saw you come in, I was standing in the back, and the Lord said that I have a huge call on this man. The thing that brings you back, you said you come into the church, you leave the church, you come into the church, you leave the church. It is, like Pastor George said, the drawing of God on your life. But the Lord said, there are things in you that I have placed there that will bring people into the kingdom of God. The call that's on your life is a serious call. You can either walk into it or you can walk away from it because God will allow you to. But there are people that you are going to come in contact with and people that you deal with on a regular basis that only you can bring the heart of God to those people. And so the Lord is saying to you now that the call on your life is to stand with him and to learn from him and to have your own life shaped into that of his, that when you go out and deal with these people, you are going to bring the kingdom of God into their lives in the same way that the Lord is bringing it into yours now. So I believe God is saying to you, do not fear, but draw closer to me, and I will put you in the position that I want you to be in.
Amen. That's a good word. That's the word of the Lord.
Is this one on? Okay. TJ, when you said, I wonder why there's such a resistance. Hi, I'm Diane. I belong with him. that's why you're feeling the resistance. Because, you know, the enemy doesn't care. If you're already doing his thing, he's like, oh, good, he's doing my thing. But when he knows, oh, no, God's got a hook on him, and this is who he not is just called to be, but who you really are.
Amen.
Who you are. Not who you're going to be. You already are there, okay? You're already that. So it's like, don't let the enemy come and say, yeah, but I this, I that. Okay? That's all under the blood. All he wants you to do is receive his love and love him back. And he does it all. Everything that everybody's been talking about this morning, that's what we've been saying. That's what Paula was saying. It's not whether I eat or drink or do drugs or sweets or whatever it is or break chairs. Don't focus on that. That's the distraction again of the enemy. It's just looking at God, because what can't he do? He already did it. He did it before you were in your mother's womb. He created you to do these things. It's who you are. Now he's just going to have you access it.
He is doing it again right now. And so the thing I want you to take away from Diane is that it's because of the high call on your life that there's such resistance against you. Okay? So God has great things for you. He has great things for you. And his heart is for you and toward you. I want to say to you, and this isn't just for TJ. The rest of the people have heard me say this a billion times. We've heard things about God that aren't true. Your safest way to hear and know anything about God is to ask him to tell you about himself, because he'll tell you the truth. People get silly ideas and religious this and that and the other thing, and sometimes those kind of work their ways into, oh, but I can't then. No, no. Nothing about God is I can't then. Everything about God is I can then. The truth is that when you're in Christ Jesus, when you're in, all of his promises, according to the scriptures, are yes. What's your role? What's our role in getting into Jesus? What's our role? Believe. Say yes. Believe. That's it. Okay? We don't have a whole big role. We don't do very much. We believe. And in that belief, he speaks and we walk. And that's how it works. We surrender. Yeah, even the demons believe. Even the demons. But we believe right into who he is, and then we live there. There's a scripture that I want to say to you.
Do we have more to go here, or are we good for now? Okay. All right, so this is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. And this is something that you need to hold on to, and it's part of my sermon, so it's for everybody else too. You guys ready? By his doing, by whose? By God's doing, you are within Christ. Okay? It's not because you're good, okay? It never becomes because you're good. By his doing, you know, Mother Teresa is in him. By his doing, you are in Christ, within Christ. That's that living inside of word, okay? It's by his doing that you are in Christ, who became to you, or became to us, wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Let me just say what that means. Wisdom from God is the way to live your life. So Jesus became to you and to me wisdom, how to live. Righteousness, that's an eternal concept that we barely understand. It's something that God is and nobody else, and except those that are in God, right? Kind of makes a lot of sense, isn't it? When you're inside of him, you're righteous. That's how you do it. Sanctification, that means the process of making you look holy. Be holy. Take off your shoes, for it's holy ground. Let me just say, the word holy is one of those nasty religious words that has been horrendously misdefined, okay? And so I'm going to give you a quick definition, which these guys have mostly heard. Holy is other than. Holy is not normal. That's what holy means, okay? It's God-like, not us-like. Okay, that's what it really means. And God is calling us to become less and less us-like and more him-like. And redemption, which means that he buys back every good thing that he had destined for you in the first place, period. That's redemption. So, by his doing, you are within Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, a lifestyle, righteousness, which is eternal, sanctification, which is the process of being made holy, and redemption, buying back his good purposes and destinies over our lives. By his doing, you're there. And then I want to juxtapose that with another scripture, because I want us to understand both sides. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but also now more, much more in my absence. This is Paul talking to the Philippians. And here's where it says, ready? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. How do you do that? Somebody help me out. How do you work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Believing into him. Believing into him. Hearing him. Let me just say, believing into him does mean that, you know, when he says, that's red, you say, it looked black to me for a minute, but it's red, right? When he says something, you agree with him, even if your eyeballs say, not so much. When he says, this is good, you say, yep, that's good. Even though maybe I wasn't thinking that was good before, I now think that's good, okay? That's believing into him. Do you see what I'm trying to say? When you believe into him, you actually start to put him on. Okay, do you see what I mean? You're stepping in and you're taking on his stuff. You're believing into him. That's what believing is about. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work within you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure, or his kind intentions toward you. His good pleasure and his kind intentions are one and the same. You look it up, you find it out. It's the truth. His good pleasure is to be kind to you at all times. So today, we've talked about some spiritual dynamics. I'm looking for one more scripture. Some spiritual dynamics.
the dynamics are that we believe into. And having believed into, then we live in and out of here. I didn't quite get to. It's by His Spirit that He is within us. And His Spirit is within us to come out. Okay? It's to release His stuff. To pour out His goodness. The fruit, i.e. the evidence, i.e. the outcome of the Spirit, is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control. These are things that come out because He's in us. Okay? It's not something you work up. It's something that happens because He exists. Because He's there, it comes out. Does that make sense? We believe into, we live in. And from within comes out the realities of God. Your character becomes, like we were talking last week, your character is God's character. Because you're living in, and He's living in. And so out of you comes Him and His good stuff.
You're supposed to let your light shine so other people can see it.
That's right. You let your light shine, and the way you let your light shine, let Him shine out. Let His stuff get on the outside of who you are. You don't have to like work it up or do something crazy. You just let His goodness come out and be good to people. Love on people. Be patient and kind to people. Let your light shine. It's His goodness that comes out. All right. Perhaps our last scripture of the day. Who knows? John chapter 6, verse 53. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in, within, is inside of, abides in me. And I abide in him. I'm within, I'm inside of him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. He who eats this bread will live forever. Now, one final thought. If indeed I am in him and living from that location, and if indeed he is in me, there's a unity that has come about. If I'm in him and he's in me, I'm pretty sure that makes just one of us. Him and me. And that is the process of sanctification that he desires. So now, I want to bring us to the table here. And I want to give you a moment, even just now. Aunt Nancy, would you mind just doing something or another on the keyboard? I'd just like to give us a moment just to clear our hearts before the Lord, okay? So what I'm saying to you that I want you to do is I just want you to say, Father, here I am. Lord Jesus, I believe into you. If there's stuff I've done that's wrong, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Cleanse my heart. Clean me up. I just give you it all. Clean me all the way out. I forgive those that have done wrong against me, and I receive your forgiveness for me. I want you to do that right now. We're just going to take a moment to give you that moment to do just exactly that thing. Lord Jesus, we come before you. Thank you.
on the night that Jesus was betrayed by his friend, he took a loaf of bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body that is broken for you." And he was referring to the fact that his body was about to be broken on the cross. And he said that because of his brokenness, that you would be made completely whole in him. Lord, we just thank you for this bread, your broken body. We thank you that you had your body be broken to repair everything about us, our minds, our emotions, our bodies, our lives. That your purpose was to buy back everything, every good and perfect thing. Thank you for this, your body. Keith, would you help me distribute? Aren't you grateful that there's life to be had? That our brokenness is not a prevention to his goodness. Do you know that his goodness just overwhelms our brokenness? In fact, as we believe into him, we just go in there and the whole of him makes us whole. It's really an amazing goodness of God. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for having such devotion to your Father and our Father, such devotion to us that you allowed your body to be broken on our behalf. We take into ourselves you, even now, as wisdom and sanctification and righteousness and redemption. We take you into us as that, in Jesus' name. Take and eat. In a similar way, Jesus took the cup and he blessed it and then he gave it to his disciples. And what he said was, "This is the cup of the good agreement that I got for you. It's a real good deal. The new covenant in my blood," is what he said. "It's a great deal for you. You become sons of Father in me." Up here, you get to hear the whispers from the front row, you know. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful to you We're grateful to you for your love. We're grateful to you for this, your blood. We're grateful that you gave to us this agreement, this cup of agreement that enables us to be children of God. Wow, that's just amazing. It's just incredible that you would make it possible for us to be Father's children, and we're grateful for that. We agree. We believe. We believe into. And we receive. In Jesus' name. You know what believing into is? Agreeing with him. Do we agree with him? Do we choose to agree with him even more? Even areas maybe where we're not really sure, or who knows, you know, maybe out of our quote-unquote comfort zone into his comfort zone. How about that? We believe you, Lord Jesus. We accept you. We believe into you today. This is the blood of the new covenant. Take and drink. Dear friend, Pastor Don, would you please come up and just pray a blessing on us as we
finish up.
I will read the opening scripture for my sermon this morning at the First Baptist Church that was basically talking about the same thing that you guys were. Now, I did not ask George what your message was today, and he didn't ask me what mine is. But we'll close with Psalm 27, verses 4 and 5. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, to seek Him in His temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon the rock. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Don. I bless you all. Believe into Jesus and then live from that place outward, releasing the fruit of the Holy Spirit because he's in you. Do it. Be it. I bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Keep us. Keep directing us. Lord, we just release healing to Mom and Dad, to my son George, and to many across the congregation. We declare a release of healing, wholeness, to Sherry's throat in Jesus' name. Andrea's guts in Jesus' name. We declare, where's Andrea? I'm pointing where she isn't. Andrea, in Jesus' name, I release grace and healing to her. I speak wholeness to Jill Vito, and like permanent wholeness in Jesus' name to her, in Jesus' name, and to Zach and his body. I declare life and wholeness to each of us in Jesus' name. Art, Lord, we just speak healing and health to Art in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for him. And I just speak strength and encouragement to each person in this room. Lord, I just pray that you would pour in a deposit of your spirit that would make us full of expectation and confident, bold access to all the good things that you have for us. We believe in you, and you are good. I declare wholeness over the Douglas household in Jesus' name, every member. Lord, we just draw a line around them, and we say there is to be no illness there. We declare a wholeness zone, a health zone in the Douglas world. In Jesus' name, we declare it in Jesus' name. And in fact, we just declare a sweeping release of the wholeness of God across this region. In Jesus' name, we put you on notice, enemy. Be gone in Jesus' name, and we release healing into our land in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Many blessings on all of you guys. We're going to start the meeting.